Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 21st. Joining us this morning, double team.
Yes.
Double team.
Yes.
Not like the Wrigley Spearmint Gum twins.
No.
The Eureka City School twins.
No, we're like the weather outside. We're the calm before the storm.
You think? Is that another attempt at humor?
Yes.
I mean,
I made myself laugh again, so it's funny.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, we're here with comedian Van Fleck and his sidekick, Michael Davis Hughes. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy to be here. Good morning.
Uh-huh. Fred's already used all his humor points. And
yeah,
and
I'm done.
I'm
tapped out.
It hasn't been pleasant. All right. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Oh, this is so apropos. Oh.
So am I allowed to pass?
No.
To Michael?
No. Why are guarantees sometimes backed with a promise to eat one's hat?
Guarantees with a promise to eat one's hat. Well,
look, probably has something. Like he's trying to bring it up out of this.
It probably has something to do with the beaver that hats were traditionally made out of. And, you know, that's where the, you know, how many X's your Stetson is from the beaver that's in the hat.
The size of your head?
I'm not even going to go there.
I see.
That's the best I got.
Good.
Michael, are you going to help me out?
No, I'm not going to help you out, Fred.
Yeah, he gets his own for tomorrow morning all by himself. Eggs, dates, salt, saffron, and veal are often the main ingredients in an old and terrible tasting dish that went by the name of hats, H-A-T-T-E-S. When someone wanted to give absolute assurance that the agreement would be carried through, he or she would often promise to do so or eat hats.
Yeah, well, see, you didn't spell hat to me. And so that's
somewhere along the line, yeah, okay, yeah. English major. Somewhere along the line, the word hats was misrepresented, and people began promising to eat their H-A-T-S. Hats.
And now we know.
Yeah. And that was like British, too, so you're not totally off the hook.
Oh, no. You're going to bring it up later.
I can tell. Yeah,
well. Use that against me.
I don't have to. Everybody else does. Yeah, you know, you could call it the original New England accent, the colonial accent, and people might not give you quite so much grief.
Here's the reality, Brian. I knew the answer to that, but I didn't want to make Fred feel bad.
Yeah, you know, and I can understand that. You know, showing up your boss. Yeah, that's kind of.
I'm just happy that Michael finally understands me.
Yeah, right. So what in the world are you here for, dude?
Why am I here, Fred? Why am I here? Because Fred told me to be here.
Yeah. Well, you're selling me down the river today all kinds of places. Well, actually, thought it would be an interesting conversation today about the county superintendent of schools. And so I don't know if...
That would be hat in the ring.
Yes.
Instead of eating the hat.
Yes, oh, there you go.
Very nice. That's a segue.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
I had heard that there was some...
Here's what I'll say. At least I laughed at my own jokes. You didn't even laugh at yours right there. So what does that mean? Is it
funny? Didn't need to.
Oh.
There's no need to prompt the audience when you have a good piece of humor.
Okay.
Buying that one, huh?
So Chris Hartley is moving on.
Yep. Yeah, when Chris was in on the 11th, we talked a little bit about that and what the new position, newly created position, that he's pretty pumped about. And we understand there's going to be an opening.
That's correct.
And that the board was going to be making a determination who the interim was going to be.
Right. And so, I don't know.
Our update?
Yeah, Michael, you want to give an update on what that process is like and where you're at in that?
Sure, yeah. So
and why he didn't choose to do it?
Because I fully support Michael in his endeavors.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
That was a good answer. So process-wise, Brian, next Monday, the board will be interviewing 5 candidates. And I am one of those candidates that the board is going to be interviewing for the position. So the process is that they will interview, deliberate, and from what I understand, make the decision that day, all in one day, all in one fell swoop, and it's all going to be public. So that will be fascinating. I mean, as an observer, that will be fascinating, I think.
Yeah, because normally personnel issues aren't, but obviously this is a position that's not personnel.
Well, it is personnel, but it's
because
political.
It's an elected position. Yes. Mm-hmm. That yep. kind of trumps that
right.
situation.
And so, like, for instance, if my position were to ever come up in my board, it would all be done confidentially,
behind closed doors,
in closed yeah. session, yes, because I'm a contracted employee, not an elected employee.
What's interesting is that, so this will be an appointment, and out of the 58 counties in California, 54 are elected positions, and then four of them are actually appointed by the county board. So that is a process.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then one is appointed by the...
One is just to our north, Del Norte.
No.
Is that way?
Yeah.
I know Del Norte. I know Mariposa is that way. Huh. I'm not sure the other two right offhand.
And LA County SUP is appointed by the Board of Supervisors.
Hmm. So there's three. I wonder who the fourth one is.
Hmm. I guess, you know... A lot of different ways to skin a cat. Isn't that another phrase?
Yeah,
I probably don't want to go into where that one came from. Maybe deer, perhaps.
In the appointed ones, the reason they're appointed is because, like, Del Norte is a county-wide district. So the superintendent of Del Norte, Jeff Harris, serves as both the Del Norte Unified Superintendent and also the county superintendent at the same time.
He is the guy instead of having, 31 different superintendents in
yep,
the county?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, a little bit different dynamic.
Right.
Most times, countywide is seen as a step up from a citywide position. Just happy where you are, Fred? Is that why you didn't want to jump it or you don't want to do the political thing? I mean, why? It would seem to be the normal succession.
So not to downplay the importance of the county superintendent position or anything like that, it's very different than what my position is. My position has very different responsibilities. I'm directly responsible for
more hands-on.
Students, yeah. whereas the county superintendent position has more into professional development for the county plans, more into oversight of LCAPs, local control and accountability plans, more into approving budgets to make sure that districts remain solvent, and so it's more of an oversight position,
management
of
rather than
what boards do,
operational. Yeah,
but there's a mistake that people think that the county superintendent of schools oversees the other schools in the district in the county, and that's just not accurate.
No,
what? Wait a second.
What?
Does that mean I'm not? KINS, news and can't information tell you
time.
What to do?
It's A19.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this very morning with Michael Davis Hughes, candidate, I guess. Hat thrower inner.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have to eat his hat.
For the candies. Well, not yet. You know, it's right up there with Haggis.
Oh, no. No. I'd eat a hat over eating Haggis, let me tell you.
Got into the old family tree on that one.
I'm Welsh, not Scottish.
You know, it's on the island, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're Celts.
I see. All right. So, Halloween started as a Celtic tradition.
Yeah.
You knew that?
All Hallows Eve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And whatever the word is that got mutated into that, there's an old word. I did. Okay. Big shocker. I wrote some commercials for next week. We're talking about the history of Halloween, interesting stuff.
Yeah,
more so than Fred. You know,
Doesn't take much. Yeah. No bar there.
Fred, one of the things that people do typically in senior management is they want to have the folks that they work with be able to go forth and conquer. You know, maybe not if you're a private retailer. You don't want them to open up a similar store next door to yours. But typically the mentoring and the developing, and then put them on a boat and push them away from the dock and let them go sail their own boat, so to speak. Do you have an active plan for either succession? Yeah, boy, that got his attention. Or having your senior staff be able to go out and become superintendents in other school districts, either in California or outside?
Absolutely. From my perspective, that's something that we owe to the students in the state of California, and that is the preparation of administrators to take on consecutively greater responsibility in their roles. Examples are, we had a principal leave us last year to go be a superintendent down in Sonora. We've had principals leave us to go be superintendents in McKinleyville. We have, for instance, Michael Davis Hughes right now putting in his hat to be the superintendent of Humboldt County Schools. And so we always really push on that and mentor and groom. And almost all of our principals are hired from within. If you take a cross-section of the principals that we have in our district, they've all come up through the ranks of Eureka City Schools. And what it's really done...
But those are teachers, right? Rather than administrative...
Principals?
Yeah.
Well, principals have to have an administrative credential. They're absolutely administrative.
Oh, okay.
And they have to go through an administrative program and learn to run the business of their school.
Do principals and administrators need to have a teaching credential?
Sort of. And the reason I say sort of, principals, yes. Anybody that oversees certificated and evaluates certificated staff has to have an administrative credential. The positions in the district that do not have to have an administrative credential are in the district office. And those positions are, if you're a director of personnel, you do not need to have...
Sure, if you're an HR person, I mean...
That's correct, yep. Yeah. You don't have to have an administrative credential. If you're the chief business officer or CBO, assistant superintendent of business services, you do not have to have an administrative credential. If you are the superintendent, you do not have to have an administrative credential. So those can be what are called classified leadership positions as opposed to certificated leadership positions.
Your maintenance folks probably don't either.
Sure, that's a good point. You start getting out director of transportation, director of food services, director of maintenance, director of technology. All those positions do not need to have.
As long as you're outside the classroom, pretty much?
That's correct. Outside the classroom and outside evaluating certificated staff.
It's interesting that your HR department, not an individual, but a department, wouldn't be the one doing the evaluations. That it would be a different area of responsibility. Right.
It's the principals. And so what the director of HR does is she oversees the process and works with the associations on what that evaluation process will look like, and then monitors whether evaluations are getting done on time, whether they're getting done effectively, and provides feedback to our staff who are doing the evaluations.
Almost makes us understand why you're looking to become a superintendent in another area.
Well, it
makes sense, mm-hmm. You know, the structure, if you're a single district, rather than being an overseer of multiple districts, which
right.
is what the county schools
but
do.
Except that's the interesting thing, is they're really not an overseer of the school districts. They only oversee
or
certain
advisor.
Components.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not even really an advisor. The piece mm-hmm. that the county office truly oversees is the local control and accountability plan. We write it as local districts. In fact, Michael is the author with his writing team in Eureka City Schools, and the county says, yes, this is a solid plan, or no, it's not a solid plan, and that's based on what the requirements of the plan are, not based on a judgment call whether you should have this in your plan or that in
your
plan.
Oh, right.
It's just based on, did you comply?
Standards.
Yeah, the laws. The law, not really standards in that regard, okay. But it's the laws. And then the same thing goes with the budget. They don't tell us how to spend our budget. They just oversee our budget. We turn it into them. We write our budget. Our board approves our budget. And then they say whether the budget is feasible or not. And
so more of a counselor. in that regard?
You know, I think one of the responsibility, the primary responsibilities from my standpoint, is to promote quality education in the county. Right? I mean, that is the big picture view.
Right.
Is the quality education in the county. And then there's the oversight part of this, the compliance piece of things. You know, and then there's the inspirational part of it. There's the how can we support students? How can we support teachers and staff in the schools?
The training and some of those types of things roll
the
in there.
Development.
And it's interesting because the relationship is different with a large school district versus a small school district.
And we'll talk about some of that when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Michael Davis Hughes from Eureka City Schools. Fred, one question. Had somebody ask since last we got together, what's the situation with the football field? You know, there was a thing with the drain and some of the issues with settling, I guess might be a good way to call it, or, yeah, settling would work. Erosion, however you want.
So we're not going to settle for a poor football field.
Okay, so did you fill it in?
So let me start with one other piece really quickly, and this will take 2 seconds. Jim, 600 yards of concrete poured on Tuesday of this week, and so the foundation is
in. I know,
in
I've been watching
it.
We've been walking it.
Yes, so it's exciting to see.
Do you see footprints that are in that concrete?
You look at my feet, you tell me. You presume I could move quick enough to get out before they got stuck.
We did get a report of Bigfoot walking through the concrete.
Oh, good.
Yes. So okay. We just assumed it was you.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Keep the neighbors away.
Yes. So fantastic progress on that. We're excited about that. Completion date of about a year from right now, late fall 2022. Check out our Facebook page if you want to see some of those pictures. Got some good stuff going on there. So football field and actually broadening it up a little bit to the entire Albee Stadium softball field and baseball field.
Sure.
Yes. So we just about have our plans into the Division of State Architect, and it'll take probably about 3 months for those plans to be approved. And we're anticipating it going out to bid right around the 1st of March. And then we think it'll take about a year for the completion of the project. And included in that project will be artificial turf for the football field, brand new track, with all new servicing on track, all new drainage down there.
Concession stands.
A brand new concession stand building with restrooms in it behind. So it'll be concession stands in the front, restrooms in the back to handle the entire stadium. A brand new team room being built, the original team room being modernized. So there'll be two team rooms down there on the bottom. The baseball field being completely redone as well. We're hopeful we can get turf in the outfield of the baseball field and on the infield of the softball field, but it's going to depend on where our bid comes in. But we are well underway on that process. We have the money set aside for it. We're going to have a state match coming in from Sacramento to match our local dollars that we're putting in there, and it's going to be a fantastic project. All new LED lighting, redoing of the press box. The bleachers will largely remain the same. But our plan is to put all new seating surfaces
plastic
on the bleachers. We're actually looking we're very interested in those of you that have gone on the Skywalk at the zoo. If you've looked down at the planking that's down, it's an FRP, fiberglass reinforced something for the
polymer of some sort.
Yeah. We're actually looking at that same type of material for the decking because it's just, I mean, for the seating because it's just bulletproof. So.
And hopefully graffiti proof too.
Yes. Fiberglass reinforced panel, I think, is what they is a P. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's safe for the kids to play on it now because weren't there sinkholes and things of that nature that were
so
there?
Yes, and so where we're at, it'll be interesting after this storm because we're expecting, 2 inches between today and tonight. That could have some impact, although the ground is very dry right now, and so we're hopeful it'll be okay. And so we are under contract with SHN, and they do weekly monitoring of the fields, and after every major storm, they come out and do a safety check of the fields. We've done the imaging of where the sinkholes are in the fields with ground-penetrating radar. And so that's how we're safety monitoring it right now. And so it'll be interesting to see as we get into this winter and as wet as it's appearing to be in the first part of the winter, how long we'll be able to play on the field.
Plan B is McKinleyville or Humboldt State?
For football and soccer, those are the two sports that are being played there. Plan B is we'll probably play our home games away at whatever school we're playing.
Oh, you couldn't use like the Babe Ruth Field or anything? That was used as a football field for a number of years. I think St. Bernard's played there for some time.
Yeah, it's possible, but that's not in our plans. Okay. We've had some preliminary conversations with some places around, but we're hopeful. Hope is not a strategy, but we are hopeful that we'll be able to finish our season there this year. We'll see. The weekly monitoring of that is very helpful, though.
And if you know where the holes are, at least you know where the pipe is.
Indeed, we do. We're down, believe it or not, that pipe is down 18 feet, 18, 19 feet in certain locations. Just amazingly deep, 30-inch pipe, it's just going to be a booger.
You're going to be able to shoot underneath the road? Or is Del Norte also going to be knocked out when the pipe is replaced?
That is what is holding up our turn into the Division of State Architects with our final plan. We're trying to determine what is going to be the most cost-effective way, whether it's a liner until you get to the other side of Del Norte, or if it's going to be dig and replace. Our preference is to dig and replace because that is a better system. Our goal is, this system's lasted 100 years. Our goal is to put in another 100-year pipe. We think we can get that with a liner, but the downside of the liner is we may have to put in if it's not straight enough, a 24-inch liner, and we're concerned that it's a 24-inch liner will handle the water flow that goes down through there. And obviously, with a synthetic field that has olive pits in there to keep the grass up, that's what we're using instead of rubber tires. If the overflow of water goes
olive
over
pits?
Those, it
ground
is,
olive
indeed,
pits?
Indeed, indeed. And
tech,
so
high-tech stuff.
So if the water flows over that field with those olive pits, you can imagine that the olive pits aren't going to stay in place.
Have a little migration going on.
Indeed, yes.
And you know what direction that flows.
Uh-huh. Right to my office.
Downhill, baby. Okay.
So we want to make sure we get it right. And so we're taking our time on the planning piece. We've done the water flow study. What they said about a 24-inch pipe is that they did a 20-year water study. They think in 20 years that there'd be 4 to 5 overflow events of that pipe, and that's just not acceptable. That means that once every 5 years you're going to have an issue with the field, and that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I wouldn't suspect that that's a good management strategy for AstroTurf or whatever it's called.
Right.
Plastic grass.
Correct, yes.
Olives.
So we're working on that. If we can get the bigger liner in there, it's possible we can do the liner. But if we can't get the bigger liner in there, then it's just the liner's not going to work.
And digging out the road that's not the preferred option? I would think with the sidewalks and some of the challenges that are there, as well as some of the security issues, that you'd want to plow through the road. Or is the city kind of not as wild about having their road torn up?
The city's very interested in getting this fixed correctly as well. And so they've given us the green light on if you need to go through the road, we can make the arrangements to go through the road. And that's one great thing. We've had a fantastic relationship with the city through this process. It's running their stormwater drainage. And so while years ago, and when I say years ago, early 1900s, they have a letter saying Eureka City Schools, I think it was Eureka High School District at the time, we don't recommend you put in Albee Field, and we don't recommend you put in this culvert. And if you do, and there's ever maintenance issues on it, you're on your own. They have that letter. They've shown it to us. And so we are on our own to replace this culvert. They still want to be a partner with us in the process, and they agree with our strategy of a 100-year pipe again, and away we go.
But you would do the sidewalks on the high school side where you're getting some of that, I guess, roots.
You're
tearing up the sidewalk.
You're talking along the baseball, or excuse me, softball field where those eucalyptus trees used to be?
Yeah, there, and then going up the hill also where I guess they're blackberry roots that are tearing those up, or the redwood trees.
I don't believe that the sidewalks right now are within the scope of the project.
So maybe they'll be done before. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Michael Davis Hughes. Fred, when you are considering hiring someone at one of the senior positions, what do you look for?
Well,
so when you hired this guy, what were you looking for when you filled that position?
Let's say that Michael Davis Hughes gets the county superintendent position, interviews the 25th.
Or becomes a professional bike rider.
I think he's checked that one off his
more,
list.
More likely to do the other than,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's finished his race across America, so I think his wife has insisted that he check that one off his list. I don't know, is that accurate, Michael?
It's very accurate.
Yeah, very accurate. So let's say he gets the position. What we are looking for is someone who has a parallel educational philosophy to the vision and the mission that the board has set for specifically Eureka City Schools. And then...
So execute the plan?
Absolutely.
Rather than bringing in new ideas and perspectives for consideration?
Well, new idea. Remember, the board is about the what.
Right.
We are about the how. We are always open to new ideas coming in about the how we achieve of the what that the board wants. So we're not looking for new ideas on our vision and mission, but we certainly are looking for new ideas on how to achieve our vision and mission. And so that's something that we'd be very interested in seeing. But I will also say this, you asked a little bit earlier about grooming from within. Our preference would be to find somebody from within the district. We have lots of qualified folks inside the district who have dedicated their life's work to Eureka City Schools, have worked their ways through the ranks as administrators, and are interested in taking that next step. And so they will be very viable candidates if his position was to open up the Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services for that position. And the nice thing about that is you have someone within the organization. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has strengths. We already know what those are, and we can build around that, and we can capitalize on that. Now, if we didn't have the depth in our administrative ranks, probably be talking about something else. We do go outside from time to time. Guess what? I was hired from outside 10 years ago. Michael was hired from outside, seven years ago. But both of us knew Humboldt County from here, and we're in it for the long haul, and that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for somebody who's in and out in a short period of time. That longevity is fantastic.
Right, touch and go and want to move up the ladder a little
right.
bit. Now, that's for educational specific. What about some of those other positions you were talking about, like, let's say, your business officer? Would you rather have somebody who's been inside or somebody who might have been, let's say, an accountant for 25 years?
Well, that's a great question. So we have Paul Ziegler, who's our Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, came out of the banking industry. He's been in the position. He was there 1 year prior to me coming in, so this is his 11th year in the position. He's going to retire someday. There's no doubt about that. I don't know when that is, but someday he will
Hopefully
retire.
Hopefully it'll be after he gives notice.
Yes.
Rather than before.
Indeed,
yes.
Indeed, yes.
Is that the order?
And so one of the training grounds for that position is we just hired a new director of fiscal services who happens to be a CPA, an auditor. And so while he's brand new in the position, that's a grooming position. And so that's what we look for.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how things play out in the next week or so. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Yes, it will.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.